There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
I don't want to say this is checkmate, but this is a major problem for the NCAA.
You obviously brought the bill here with you today. When you put pen to paper right now, what's this going to change and what's it
going to
do?
It's going to initiate dozens of other states to introduce similar legislation, and it's going to change college sports for the better.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to College Football Live with David Pollack and Joey Galloway. I'm Marty Smith. That was, at the top of the show, California Governor Gavin Newsom signing the Fair Pay to Play Act. And you saw it on the Uninterrupted there with LeBron James and Mav Carter. And it's quite a moment for the NCAA and for intercollegiate athletics. And we're still kind of unboxing all of this. So fortunately, we have ESPN reporter Dan Murphy to give us some insight.
College sports are a multi-billion dollar moneymaker, and for the past quarter century, advocates for athletes have fought to get players more compensation. SB 206, the Fair Pay to Play Act, being signed into law in California, might just be their biggest victory yet in what has been a controversial, confusing battle. First, though, nothing is changing right away. The new law doesn't even go into effect until January 2023. So catch your breath, sports fans. Schools will not be paying salaries to their athletes. Instead, for the first time, players will be allowed to sell the rights to their names, images, or likenesses to outside bidders. They can even hire an agent. So players could get paid from things like video games, autograph sessions, or TV commercials. Payment could also look more like a local business giving a couple thousand bucks to a hometown athlete at a Division III school. The idea here isn't new. The Olympics have used the same model for years. But back in February, California State Senator Nancy Skinner decided the Olympic model would work for college athletes. Skinner says her aim was to give them the same rights as any other student on campus. What other billion-dollar industry could rely on college students as the source of their revenue and deny them any type of income, she recently said. This is the only billion-dollar industry that has so far been able to get away with this. California schools and the NCAA itself strongly oppose the bill because it would make it illegal for colleges in California to follow the NCAA's strict amateurism rules. The NCAA sent one letter to legislators and another to Governor Gavin Newsom saying the law would result in California schools being banned from any NCAA competitions because they would have an unfair recruiting advantage. Skinner hopes this is just the first step. Several other states have already considered following California's lead, and a congressman in North Carolina has proposed a federal law that would apply to all states. If nothing else changes before 2023, California schools could face a tough decision. They could defy the new law, stick with the NCAA rules, and force a judge to decide who's right. That now sets up what one legislator described as a giant game of chicken, the NCAA threatening to exclude California schools and lawmakers daring them to try. The NCAA has asked California for more time to reconsider its amateur rules, but Governor Gavin Newsom's signature means the clock is ticking.
There are so many variables involved in this, it's a little bit astounding, so we're going to give it a ride here. And what I want to do, fellas, is try to kind of break this down in sections, starting with the student-athletes themselves, David. What does this mean for the student-athlete when we get to this in 2023?
Well, first of all, I do like that we have several years to kind of build a plan for this, because this is going to take a plan. This is not going to be something you just go, hey, go maximize it now and figure it out. I think having some kind of data behind this and having information that we can build upon for the next couple of years, I think for the student athlete, it means a lot. It means a ton, man. Now I can go and speak to whoever I want and make money. I can go endorse whatever I want and make money. I can do video games and make money. Joey, when you're a college student, it, you know exactly what it is. Sometimes, and depending on where you grew up and who you are, it's a struggle, man. You don't have money to go to the movies all the time, and you don't have money to do a lot of different things, and your time is taken up. The majority of it is taken up in football. So this is a complete game changer. This is this can change the whole landscape of college football and the NCAA as we know it.
Yeah, and I wonder how many people this truly affects. I mean, not everybody on a, what is it, 80 players on a football team. And so you wonder how many of those players have an image that they can actually go sell. Now, if you look at it, take Georgia, for example. You might have maybe four. You say Jake Fromm, maybe Swift, a couple other guys. I don't know that it has that big of a range of effect on the athletes that we're talking about, because not many can sell their image. But the other question I wonder about, how does this affect, let's just say there's a big recruit out there and Georgia's after him and Ohio State's after him. How does this affect where a big donor can step in Columbus, Ohio, and say, hey, if you come here, exactly, I'll make sure that you get paid off the field. It's I think there's a lot of variables out there that need to be ironed out, I guess.
And one of the things that's important to note, first of all, if you don't think cheating happens in college football, wake up. It happens. So if you don't think it happens,
sure,
it's happening. I mean, for sure happening. So now, Joey, under this new rule, what happens is, okay, highest bidder. What do you have for me? I can come. I'll be the face of your car dealership. 150 G's. I'm the face of it. You can use me and you can market. You can advertise. So, I mean, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be people basically bidding for your services, and it's going to be all out warfare. And that's the part that needs to be ironed out over the next several years and figured out.
Yeah, I don't
and
like
that's
it.
The part. That's the part I want to follow up on right now. Exactly what you two are saying. What's to stop donor X from going to Joe Recruit's dad and saying, hey, if you push him over to our university, we'll guarantee you we'll buy 100,000 of his jerseys. Right now. We'll do it right now if you send him over here. So it skews the entire recruiting process, does it not?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's going to be one. That's going to be what it's about. I mean, listen, you already have families that that take advantage of certain aspects. Now, this is definitely a thing where you're coming in and you're going to go, okay, let me listen to my offer. That's pretty good. Okay. Well, I got this from school X. I got this from school Y. So what can you do for me? I mean, it's going to be bidding wars. The rich will have a huge leg up and a huge advantage. If you don't think so, like, how many boosters are lining up at Alabama right now to say, more players, more championships? Sign me up. How many boosters are going to do that? Ohio State, Georgia, all the main programs. Of course, 100%. They're making money hand over fist. How about the teams, Joey, that are making the most money? The SEC, the Big Ten, those conferences on a whole every single year are printing money now. You don't think they're going to use their resources? Now, listen, one thing important to point out, the schools aren't paying this, quote unquote. The boosters would be the ones, the companies, the organizations would be the ones stepping up and being like, please be my face. Please come do an autograph session. I guarantee you 10 autograph sessions. I'll give you $20,000 a piece. Yes, please.
Yeah. And the other part of that equation is with the transfer portal now, I mean, it is seriously, we were already moving toward free agency. But with the transfer portal, let's just say Justin Fields is sitting here at Ohio State and there is a booster, like you said, at Alabama that would like Justin Fields to come there and hey, the highest bidder is going to get the player because now they can sell their image, do what they want. It's free money here. I'm going to go get this kid to transfer to my school, and I'm going to promise you I'm going to put $1 million in your bank account. I don't like the direction this is headed. Again, it is terrific that we have a few years to iron some things out. But at face value, the way this looks, it's very scary for NCAA athletes and where this could take us.
Marty, right, real so quick, Marty, real quick, one more thing. Think about that for a second, Marty and Joey. Think about if a kid balls out through four games, and then now all of a sudden free agency, because I can go get paid at other schools, balls out like Justin Fields just did for four games and balls out. And then it's like, you know what? I'll put my name in the transfer portal because I want to go make money. Like, think about that. That is crazy. Yeah. That's nuts.
Again, there are so many variables. I can't even be, I'm not that intelligent. I'm overdressed today, obviously, as well. I can't wrap my hands around everything that's coming. So let's try to look at the other side. Let's look at the NCAA. All right. Every one of us agrees that there needs to be some sort of reform within the NCAA, right? We all agree there. What would this mean to the NCAA as we know it?
If I'm the NCAA,
stand
my ground, number one. As far as it's concerned, if I'm the NCAA, I stand my ground and say, if your athletes in California accept compensation, then they will not be allowed to compete in our organization. I think it's the same thing we're dealing with. Well, not we, but they're dealing with marijuana, which is legal in some states. But that doesn't mean that NFL players that play in that state can go smoke marijuana. And so I think it's the same thing. The NCAA will change, and I think they'll do it on their own timeline. But as we sit here today, if I'm the NCAA, I say, look, if you choose to go that route, then you won't compete in our championships, in our games, and be a part of our organization.
Yeah, and they can take that stand for now. But this is very, very apparent that there's going to be a lot of different states that are going to follow suit, and it's not just going to be California. And when that happens, they better have a plan B. And the NCAA has for years and years and years been absolutely hypocritical in multiple ways. Look at the players that are Justin Fields playing right now that automatically got a waiver to go play for Ohio State, but other guys in the same exact situation that don't get a waiver. They have screwed things up for a long time, and people have looked at them corruptly for a long time. I think now this is strike one against them, a shot across the bow against them. Other states start to do the same thing. There's no telling if there's the NCAA is going to be left by the time everybody's done with them.
And other states are most certainly interested as well, guys. Look, one of the things that intrigued me most about the way this just unfolded is the fact that it was signed on LeBron James's television program. That's like a, hey, NCAA, you're number one. I mean, it is an outward look at, hey, this is our influence. We're going to not stand down from this influence and continue to push here. Look, pay for play, certainly not the only saucy fight this week, guys. UFC 243 Saturday in Melbourne, Australia. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes will have the prelims starting at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And who's the number one team in all the land? That's up for debate. We'll tell you our thoughts next.
College Football Live is brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating those who rise above. Goodyear, more driven.
Let's take a look at this week's college football rankings brought to you by Goodyear. For the first time this season, AP voters offer teams other than Clemson and Bama a little love. Georgia gets 4 first place votes, and Ohio State gets 7 of them, gentlemen. It's time to discuss the Capital One fan vote. Again, 4 teams get first place votes this week. That's the first time that's happened this season. And so I ask you, David Pollack, who is your number one team in the land?
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Wow.
I have seen enough from them on their defensive line with Chase Young and company that I know they're elite. I think their cornerbacks are elite. I love what they've done defensively and restructuring. And then, let's be honest, like, we know they're going to get after the quarterback. We know they're going to create turnovers defensively. Justin Fields in this offense can attack you in multiple ways. You can tell he's growing and he's going to continue to grow throughout the season. So I think the Buckeyes, for what they've done so far, just destroying every single person in the way, is the number one team in the country.
I'm going to stick with Clemson. And I've done this year after year. Dave, we've been at it for a while. The defending national champion always stays number one with me until somebody beats them. And so it seems that whoever wins a championship that next season, they just don't play up to par. So I go through this a lot because I continually keep that team at number one until they lose. And believe me, Clemson, they've shown some cracks in the armor, but they've won football games. At the end of the day, the goal is to remain undefeated. And the defending champion is still undefeated. They will be number one for me until that's no longer the case.
I mean, what kind of philosophy is that? That's not the best team in the country. You don't just automatically be the best team in the country because you were last year.
Yeah. It's been my philosophy since you've known me, David. I'm
and
not going to change
wrong.
It now.
It's been wrong, so you need to change it.
That could be the case. I'm not doubting that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's my philosophy.
All right. If you guys want to check out the Capital One fan vote, participate yourself, go to twitter.com/SportsCenter. Now, there are probably 10 or so teams who are still alive in the broader scope. Four of them are going to make the show. So we're in October now, so we can go ahead and start deciding who might be our first out. Joey Galloway, who's number five for you? Who's your first team out right now?
Today, number five for me is Ohio State. And that's, you know, that won't hold serve because so many of these teams have to play each other. And the reason they're first out, it's real simple for me. Clemson's number one. Alabama coming at number two. And then LSU and Georgia both have top 10 wins. And so I really like what the Buckeyes are doing right now. I need to see them play somebody just as I need to see Alabama play somebody. The rest of these teams have played someone. And so as solid as Ohio State has looked and as solid as Alabama looks in football, you can't tell what someone's weakness is until they play a team that can expose that weakness. And really neither team has.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but that my first team out would be Clemson. Because again, I'm going to take what I've seen this season, guys, and this isn't a perfect science. And just like Joey talked about, I'm taking what I've seen this season, what you've done on the field against really good competition. If you haven't played good competition, how you've looked, a la North Carolina. To me, if I start going through the top of the list with Ohio State and Georgia and LSU, I'm more impressed with what they've done and impressed with their resume and how they've handled people than I am with Clemson. It doesn't mean that Clemson's a bad team, and Clemson's – this is all going to work itself out. But right now, I would have Clemson at number five.
So Joey's number one is Pollock's first out. Pollock's number one is Joey's first out. Who do you guys have – have at two, three, and four, the SEC contingent? Go ahead, Joey.
Basically, I have Alabama in there, I have LSU in there, and then I have Georgia. And since I've known Pollock, he's been upside down. So this is not a surprise that he would have his 1 and 5 mixed up.
My whole life, there's no doubt about it. I think that I'm right there with you too. Again, it's got to be a combination of what you've done on the field. Who you've beaten has to be important at some point in the debate. And those other LSU's got a huge win at Texas, maybe the most impressive win of the season. Georgia's got a huge win against Notre Dame. Alabama doesn't have a huge win yet. The Buckeyes don't have a huge win, but Nebraska's better than anything I've seen Clemson do so far.
This week, our Saturday night football game presented by Wells Fargo is a top 25 Big Ten battle. Number 25, Michigan State, and number 4, Ohio State from the Shoe in Columbus. 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. Man, what's more entertaining than a fired-up football coach and a microphone? Not much. Coming up, a couple of our favorites. Don't disappoint. After Elena Deladon and the Mystics took Game 1 against the Sun, we'll have Game 2 of the Best of 5 All East Coast WNBA Finals tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. And now for this week's Ultimate Performance presented by BMW. It's Tanner Morgan, quarterback from Minnesota, who had a career game on Saturday, throwing for 396 yards and 4 touchdowns as the Gophers beat the Purdue Boilermakers. A tremendous effort for Tanner Morgan. And a huge win for the Gophers. Now it's time to see Coach Leach, because he's an American treasure, take the mic and enlighten us with his wisdom about his team's unfortunate loss to Utah Saturday.
Last year's team was a tough team for us. And we got nearly the same guys, and now all of a sudden they're not tough. You know, they're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled.
David, how would you react to your coach saying that about you and your mates?
First of all, everybody's different. I'm not a sensitive person, so it would have been okay, especially after I just got dump trucked, that I got to look in the mirror and I got to understand that I definitely didn't do something right and something needs to change. And coach is saying this for a reason. So I would react one way. I do have some people, Joey, and you sure, I'm sure you know them too. They're a little bit more sensitive and they're going to get their feelings hurt and that probably wish the transfer portal was a week ago and they could already get out after the four games. So, I mean, everybody's different though.
Yeah, I've heard coaches say worse, and I've heard them say worse to your face with some expletives involved in it. And I'm with you, David. That's just football. I think that's probably the clean version that he said at the mic on TV. So I don't know that I would be bothered by that at all.
That guy could read me the phone book, and I'd enjoy it. Now, as we get older, a lot of us need corrective eyewear in order to see that which we are reading. And we are not alone. South Carolina head coach Will Muschamp, as you see here, he's got the readers on. And it's not going so well.
You know what? I'm getting old. And I can't read anymore, especially at night. It's been a ball. I got more gray hair than I've ever had. My wife doesn't like hanging around losers. I've been losing, so, I mean, it ain't been good, you know?
Either of you guys need those readers yet, Joey?
No, not yet. Now, I'm not saying that it's far off because I'm sure my time is coming. I think it makes you look a lot older when you wear them on the end of your nose.
Agreed.
Like the way he had them, like, in the game. Like, yeah, then you really look like an old man. It's one thing to need glasses, but get normal glasses and wear them normally, and it doesn't look like an old man.
Or you could put contacts in your eyes. I mean, that's another option, obviously. I mean, it's a solution you could have. But, I mean, Joey's almost 50. The fact that he doesn't have eyeglasses is pretty impressive.
Or
I don't wear them either.
Or 30.
No, 50.
I just got a brand new pair of glasses. I'm going to break them out real soon. My man Jimbo Fisher wears those things on the very tip of his nose. Have a good day, y'all.